notes that I missed. Jackie is looking for somebody to help her with the coordinating on the Wednesday night dinners, right? Stand up so they can see you. Somebody could, if God puts it in your heart to help her out, do it. Okay? We should pray for the message. Hopefully it'll be decent enough. It's always good to pray for the message. It can be a selfish prayer. That, Lord, don't let him bore me to tears. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through this message about the doubts that we sometimes face in life, and that you allow me to do it with clarity and conciseness so that it speaks to us in those areas. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the sixth in a series of messages that I'm calling Dragons of the Mind. And these dragons of the minds are things that we all have, and they come in varying sizes and shapes. But there are things like, and these are some of the dragons we've already talked about, fear and worry, anger, guilt, unforgiveness. Today I want to talk about doubt, but there's other things out there like inner turmoil and shame and bondage, resentment, bitterness, all kinds of dragons. Dragons of the minds are things that haunt us in our minds and loom over us like fire-breathing beasts. Our lives, our future, our ability to live fully in the present is often blocked by these dragons of the mind. And we get paralyzed by these dragons because they guard the roads in our minds that lead to fulfillment and health and peace. And I've got somebody to help me today in showing you how a dragon can block you in terms of life. It's my good friend, Harry Potter. What was that little guy's name that got killed? Harry Potter. He talked about Harry Potter. Anyway, sometimes they look like they are small to us. We don't think much about them until we encounter the full-blown version as it gets in the way of our lives. And I'll show you Harry and his way of dealing with it.
Parky, the bag.
Champions in a circle around me. Miss Delacour, over here. Mr. Crumb. And Potter, Mr. Potter, over here. That's right. Now, Miss Delacour, if you will. The Welsh green. Mr. Crumb. The Chinese fireball. The Swedish short snout. Its leaves.
Long tail.
What's that, boy?
Nothing.
The Hungarian horntail. These represent four very real dragons.
Ah!
Thank you, Harry.
One of the things that I... Now, am I supposed to talk yet? One of the things that I know about this thing, this particular scene, is that there are people in the stands watching. You know, and when we're dealing with the dragons of our minds and sometimes in our lives, we have people who are watching in the stands, you might say. And some of them are for us, and some of them are just watching because that's what they do. And some are against us on occasion, even as we deal with it. Harry's the one that had to deal with it, but they were watching him deal with it. And you have to deal with the dragons of your mind. Today I want to deal with the dragon of doubt. Now, this dragon is really gray and quiet. The dragon of doubt is a whispering dragon. This dragon comes early on in the history of humanity in the Garden of Eden. In the book of Genesis, the dragon of doubt whispers to Adam and Eve, "Did God really say you couldn't eat of these trees?" This dragon comes to us in a dismal, dank darkness and is gray in color. It comes whispering as the fog rolls in, you might say, at points in our lives. And I picked this dragon on the front here. If you notice, it's kind of like a fog rolling in. You can see that that is there as the fog settles down over that town. And the dragon is above it. The question comes quietly, whispering to us. This dragon's breath numbs us, bewilders us. Like a fog, his breath covers us so that we don't know what to do or what road to take in certain areas of our lives. Like fog, his breath paralyzes us and our movement. We lose the ability to see where we are and where we want to go. The dragon of doubt comes to call when we least expect it. It's like a deep-seated disease. The breath of doubt gnaws remorselessly at the vitals of our faith and our convictions and our confidence. And then the breath of dismay, we falter in faith and we become double-minded a lot of times. We doubt ourselves. We doubt our friends. We doubt our background or our future or our experience and the truth as we know it. We doubt it. We doubt our faith in the Bible and the God who speaks through it. The dragon of doubt, ever since the Garden of Eden, comes to steal and kill and destroy our faith and our future and our lives, our lives, shaking off the foundations of truth. The dragon of doubt defeats, discourages, destroys the foundation of faith in us. For some who hear this message, your personal dragon may be fear or worry or anger or unforgiveness or guilt, which we've dealt with in past weeks. But for me, this is my dragon. The dragon of doubt lives very close to my castle built on the faith. So today, part of this message is personal. This dragon is the one that I battle regularly. Now, I expect some of you probably think that I'm some kind of super Christian up here, able to leap insurmountable problems at a single bound. These dragons shouldn't be a real problem to me, but the truth is they are. Some of you have commented on how I might be looking in your windows when I give a message because I get so close to your problems and struggles and general humanity. Well, the truth is, all I have to do is look at my own life, and I just take the things that out of my own life, and I tell you about them, and you think I'm looking in your windows. You see, you just face a lot of the same things that I do. I was not conceived on a rock and hatched by the sun at the age of 30 into the ministry. Some think that ministers are not supposed to get aggravated or irritated or get angry. Some think that ministers are not supposed to house questions or harbor doubts. Well, if that's true, I guess I just don't measure up for my pastoral image. Because the truth is, I'm on the same level as everybody else. And the dragon of doubt is my personal dragon. For some, it may be unforgiveness or anger or fear or worry or others. But for me, the dragon of doubt is the one that I war with regularly. Now, I question. I doubt. I always have. I probably always will, at least on this side of the grave. For me, there are perplexing questions and nagging doubts at times. The question of meaning is always there for me. Doubts come in the midst of faith. God blessed me or afflicted me with an inquiring mind. And I want to know what, why, and I won't swallow anything that, without at least trying to think it through and reasoning it out. And a problem with this kind of mind is that the question is often the problem. It generates a dragon of doubt at times. The question leads to a lack of self-confidence at times. I need to give a little personal account to show you this dragon. My faith has been my blessing and my burden. I majored in chemistry and minored in physics and math when I went to college, and I was always studying one sort of science or another in college. Well, a mind that questions, inquires, and doubts is an advantage in scientific studies and things like that. The way you learn the sciences is through study and question. Well, the dragon of doubt looks like a friend in that kind of environment. But when I went to seminary, suddenly it all changed and all of my questions and doubts became a burden because things weren't black and white anymore. I won't say they're 50 shades of gray. But things got gray. I long for a mental faith which never doubts. I mean, I envy people who have such a deep faith that there seems to be no struggle in them. My issue is one of meaning versus meaninglessness, and it leads to a constant struggle, a constant questioning in terms of things. It's a persistent doubting, you might say. And I battle the dragon of doubt on a regular basis. I have gone the route of agnosticism, and my doubts have included just about everything, including the very existence of God. I've doubted the reality of God's love and the integrity of God's plan of salvation. The main reason that you get so much preaching and teaching from me from the Old Testament is because when I made that leap of faith and when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I addressed a question that I had in my mind. If Jesus is who he said he is and was, then all this stuff that he talks about needs to be reasonable and understandable. And if that's the case, then he only spoke out of the context of the Old Testament. So I began a study of the Old Testament just to make sure my faith was reasonable beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond the shadow of the dragon of doubt. Well, I can tell you this. It's reasonable, or I wouldn't be standing up here. I know. I checked it out. But doubts still come. But I do not doubt God nor his plan or his love, because my doubts drove me to explore and continue to explore his word. But the dragon of doubt is hell on earth, folks. His breath and shadow feels like hell. His breath and shadow is cold and damp and meaningless. The sun doesn't shine in the shadow of the dragon of doubt. Even if you're living in paradise, it can be just another dreary day in paradise. So let's consider this dragon, what it does to us, and sometimes even for us. As I said, I know this dragon better than the other ones. So let's look together at how to deal with doubt. First thing is, doubt can be very creative, actually, and helpful because it can drive us to both intellectual and spiritual growth. My doubts helped me in my spiritual growth. But you know that when you're dealing with doubts, it needs to be dealt with correctly. Doubt is dealt with correctly within the fellowship of God. I've discovered that truth. Because doubt can also be very destructive. The dragon of doubt holds God at arm's length. It just kind of says, I'm not sure about this. The dragon of doubt puts God on the judgment stand instead of letting him help us through our doubt. This dragon whispers, isn't it God who has caused all your problems? Isn't it God who condemns you? God will never love you or forgive you as bad as you are. God's not going to be there for you. And the dragon robs us of courage and companionship with God. Let me tell you about life and the dragon of doubt and people like us. The trials of life wear us down. They sap our energy. And because of these trials, people, our environment of home and community, even of church, our problems bring us to points of disappointment, disillusionment, and despair. We become exhausted from just trying to cope with all the things that we have to deal with in this life. And this is when that dragon of doubt awakens and starts to breathe his whispering, withering words. He undermines our confidence and faith, and we begin to doubt ourselves and God. And when this dragon breathes, the absolute last thing we need is self-condemnation, where we whip up on ourselves, but we do that, or the judgment of other people. What we need to battle this dragon is usually the last thing we do. We need to bring our doubts to God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak truth to us. I have a few passages printed here. Read with me the passage on the Gospel of John, chapters 14 and then 16. Let's read that together. Here we go. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. When the dragon of doubt assails us, we need to reject our usual pattern of trying to run our own lives and on our own energy, which is what we do, and we try to run our lives on our own understanding of things. The truth is that this dragon arises a lot of times because of the trials, because of the tragedies, the painful experiences. And whispered words of doubt against God come. When things go wrong, when we perceive our prayers are unanswered, when physical illness or handicaps or old age comes upon us, when circumstances, situations arise in our lives that cause us to suffer, and just generally when life brings us to the condition of doubt, then it is then that the dragon lifts its head and breathes an attitude that undermines our faith. You see, doubt is a dragon of the mind. It is intellectual, but it usually is awakened by a hurting heart. So I need to say that your dragon of doubt is intellectual in nature, but it is usually awakened from the heart, which is emotional and spiritual, before it ever becomes a dragon of the mind. The bottom line on all of this is when life brings us to the conditions of doubt, we make God our enemy a lot of times rather than our friend, because the dragon of doubt breathes words of doubt and lies about who God is to us. The way we battle the dragon of doubt, our doubts about God, ourselves, about our lives, is the truth of the Holy Spirit. This scripture in John speaks of the truth that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Doubt is a spiritual condition someplace between our problems, circumstances, situations, and the realization of God's power moving in our lives. That's where it lies, between those two things. Let me state it again. Doubt is a spiritual condition, someplace between our problems on the one hand and the experience of God's truth and power moving in our lives on the other hand. Doubt is a sure sign that we need to do battle with this dragon of the mind with a deeper experience of God. And we do it through personal prayer and scripture and through the Holy Spirit as counselor and the truth that he brings. The truth which the Holy Spirit brings is the key to overcoming doubt. Read with me Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now notice that the God gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is the Holy Spirit giving us eternal truth. We get eternal truth from the Holy Spirit. Now read with me Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Now here's the truth, the spirit of truth. Have faith. Don't try to figure out all your fears and worries and doubts yourself. Don't battle the dragons alone. God says, bring your doubts to me, and I will help you get things straightened out. Don't get prideful or puffed up or cocky. Bring it to me. Don't work it out on your own, and I will keep you from ruining your life or being paralyzed by your doubts and fears. The dragon of doubt whispers to us that God is the enemy, but he isn't. He is our friend. Jesus is the picture of God's personality, and the Holy Spirit is the counselor that he has sent to give us eternal truth. We need to bring our doubts to the Holy Spirit because God is not shocked, folks. God is not shocked or threatened or afraid of our dragons of doubt. I mean, God does not run for cover when this dragon breathes. I don't think that Father God turns to the Son and the Holy Spirit and brings up some doubt whispered from one of us. And he says, oh, I wish he hadn't thought of that. Now I'm in trouble as God. We need to take our doubts to the Lord. They can be intellectual doubts, doubts about our circumstances, doubts about our situations in life. Whatever those doubts are, we need to bring them to the Lord. But we need to bring them to the Holy Spirit as counselor rather than just taking them to some human counselor or listening to what our own minds tell us, which should be suspect. Trust in God, you know, don't rely on your own understanding of things. We need to come and pray. Holy Spirit of God, I come to you, and I'm bringing these doubts that I have, and I pray. And then you go to Scripture, and then you ponder the Scripture, and you think about upon the majesty and the love of God that he reveals to us. As we read earlier here in John, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. Friends, we don't need intellectual answers for every problem. Doubt, fear or worry that comes our way. But we do need truth. We need eternal truth. And when we receive it and understand truth, eternal truth, then we're going to be able to process things both intellectually and emotionally and give us a reason for the hope that is in us. Jesus said, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Know the truth and the truth will set you free from bondage and the shadow of the dragon of doubt that lives in your castle and your mind. As I said earlier, this is my personal dragon. This is the dragon that I do battle with most of the time. And we all have dragons of the mind. Your main dragon may be different from mine, but I know this dragon. There have been times when this dragon of doubt has disturbed my peace of mind, and it, as it breathes its lies and its whispers, words, and they're like termites in the foundation. Now, it's been a long time since I've doubted the existence of God or the reality of the life of God in Jesus and the truth that is revealed in the Bible. The dragon has pretty much given up on breathing lies in that area, but I have and probably will on occasion doubt God's power in my problems and situations because of the breath of this dragon. I've noticed that more and more the downtime in terms of doubt is shorter because I no longer treat God as my enemy. Boy, I tell you what, so many people do. He is my friend. And Jesus comes and he fights the battle against the dragon of doubt. And standing right beside Jesus is the Holy Spirit giving counsel, words of truth to destroy the lies of the dragon. It is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit which leads me to truth. In fact, knowing the truth has become a pilgrimage of becoming the truth. I desire not so much just to know the truth, but to live the truth and help others battle the dragon. Jesus is the truth who comes to do battle with the dragon of doubt. And just as Jesus talked to Thomas after the resurrection, when Thomas was such a doubter, read with me John 20, 27 to 29. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Put your fingers here, Thomas. Look at my hands. Stretch out your hand and put it in my side, Thomas. Stop your doubting and believe. And Jesus comes to us in our doubts in the shadow of the dragon and says, "Stop your doubting and believe." At which point Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." When in doubt, say what Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And it's then that Jesus will deal with your doubts. Let's pray. Lord, we all have them, so we bring them to you. I pray that the words that I have spoken have brought truth into our lives in the midst of doubts that we all have. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.